Hey, Foot Clan, before we start today's show, I want to tell you about FantasyChamps.com. FantasyChamps.com is running their biggest sale ever. This week only, buy a championship ring and receive a $39 draft board for free. Simply pick out which championship ring suits your fancy and then add your draft board of choice to your cart and then enter the promo code FREEDRAFT for $39 in savings. Fantasy Champs' all-new draft board designs are second to none and come with everything you need for your live draft, whether it's the new exclusive Fantasy Footballers board design.
I recommend that one.
Or the sleek NLPA Superstar draft board.
That one's good, too, but the Fantasy Footballers
one with us on it, yeah. Your draft board, look, it's gonna make that draft party real nice. Remember, use that code FREEDRAFT at FantasyChamps.com for this exclusive deal. Inventory is limited. Sale valid August 17th through the 22nd while supplies last.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Tuesday, August 17th. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway, the Fantasy Footballers. Another episode of the show. Right here on a fine Tuesday morning.
Let's get after it.
Was that your huddle speech right there? Because it was not convincing.
I'm trying out some new catchphrases.
Let's get after it.
But you say that one with like a little bit of insecurity in your voice?
Well, yeah, because it's dumb.
Let's trying some masculine phrases on this morning.
Yeah.
Tomorrow
is let's hit it.
Okay. All right. You do you, man. Happy to see you didn't shave your beard off. You might have ended up looking like Travis Kelce.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't see what the problem is.
What? Have you not lowered him in your rankings? He looks like a fool. He looks like a dad. He looks dumb. He looked great with a beard. Now he just looks like some rando guy.
I agree that the beard is better, but I don't know what all the hullabaloo is all about.
Well, he timed this up for us because we have our top 10 tight ends on today's show, which he may not make after that picture. We'll see. Lots going on, including very special announcement. We have an exclusive live stream this week because we are giving away the ultimate draft kit for life.
For life.
Along with a DK Metcalf signed jersey. We did this for the first time last year. It was a lot of fun. Basically, here's how it works. If you want to be entered for a chance to win the ultimate draft kit for life.
For life. Forever.
You just need to order the 2021 ultimate draft kit by Thursday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And why that time exactly? It's because we will be live on Thursday starting at 7 p.m. We will count it down and we will give away the ultimate draft kit for life.
Now, for life.
If you're out there and you're like, oh, no, I already ordered it.
Well, you're good.
That's good. You're entered to win. So you just have to be, you just have to have the 2021 UDK by then to be entered. We did this last year. We'll be live on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Ballerslive.com is the, just go there and you'll be able to catch that live stream. But we did this last year, had a very special winner. They've already redeemed their UDK for this year, but still have the rest of their life to enjoy it.
Yeah. What it cost them, Andy?
It was free.
That's right.
I mean, this year it was free. Yeah. But that's going on. Check that out, ultimatedraftkit.com, if you want a chance to enter, like I said, before Thursday. You can follow the show over on Twitter, Instagram, at the FF Ballers is the Twitter. Instagram is what, Brooks?
Fantasy Footballers.
YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers if you want to watch the show or be alerted when that live stream's going live. What else is going on? Anything new, Brooksy?
Nah.
How are you doing today?
Doing great.
We've got some big shows this week.
I will say this. Let me start this out. You're right, Jason.
We got top 10 tips and tricks tomorrow. My guys at the end of the week. Thursday live stream. I mean, this is fantasy football season.
And I wish that we could give the listeners like the full experience of what is happening in our war room of
I don't wish that
with the selection of the my guys. And look, selecting a my guy, it's a harrowing task. I mean, you're putting your name, you're saying these are three guys that I am trying to draft everywhere that I can. I don't want to leave a draft without them, and your name is associated with that player for the year.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is a huge amount of pressure, and you know, like I think last year I was going up to the wire. This year, thankfully, I have found my three guys earlier on in the process, so I get to I'm just relaxing. And
watching Andy and I.
I'm watching just you two killed off the face of
the
earth.
We have some final selection issues going on for our last My Guys. Now, I think the strategy should be the Mike Wright special, which is which three players have the best chance of a season-long injury in week one to neither prove or disprove my actual take. Look, it's called the Blake Jarwin.
Blake Jarwin was incredible. 100% catch rate.
That's right. One for one. Okay.
And then Dalton Schultz was the proof of concept.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have you victory lapped Jarwin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correctly so. Thank you.
We do have a segment before we get into our tight ends. And Brooksy, I don't know if you saw this. I mean, I apparently made some comments about the Detroit Lions yesterday on the show.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to help you soften them, and you were like, no, they're the worst. They suck.
I just wanted to kind of come out and apologize to the Lions fans. But like, Brooksy, you're a Michigander? Is that the...
That's right.
That is? Okay.
Yeah.
Like have a gander at a Michigander?
I mean, so you're from that land, right?
Yes. And even not as a Lions fan, like I rooted for them, but you could just feel the years of sadness.
So our source here.
Yeah.
Our star reporter is someone from Michigan who's like, I wasn't really a Lions fan.
Is that how everybody...
That's what I mean. You can feel the collective sadness of the Lions fans for years.
So did you relate to... I mean, did you feel like the comment about them being the Adam Gase of franchises was a little over the top, though?
Nah.
Okay. That's actually what I've heard from more people. They're all like, yeah, we know. Oh, we know.
It was fine until you said Adam Gase?
Yeah. I mean... There were some people that were not happy.
Look, that does take it to the next level.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, if you say this, it's the worst, it's trash, it's just a black hole of desperation and a terribly run franchise, that's all fine. But mm-hmm. you call it Adam Gase, mm-hmm. that's too far. That is way too far.
That's fair.
Number two.
Thank you. Oh, there he is. All right, let's move on.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. Presented by Traeger Grills.
I can't wait for these discussions. Every week we're looking at what's going on in camp hype, preseason hype now. And we're deciding, look, is this just smoke or is this fire? Number one. Oh, gosh. All right, the Texans backfield. Kind of went through the offseason... maybe incorrectly putting David Johnson atop the depth chart. They added Philip Lindsay. They added Mark Ingram. They added Rex Burkhead. It was kind of a running gag, right? Like the amount of bodies to the wide receiver and running back rooms in Houston. But now, in the last week and a half, you know, Philip Lindsay, Mark Ingram were listed as co-starters. David Johnson was not listed as a starter. You look at preseason week one, Philip Lindsay had 8 of 10 reps with the first team offense. David Johnson saw the field on the third down opportunities. The team came out and said they're going to use David Johnson like Duke Johnson. Is there smoke? Is there fire?
When the depth chart came out, it seemed rather smoky. It seemed like this is not something I'm going to get up in arms about. I didn't adjust my rankings yet because we have seen all sorts of weird things over the years with depth charts. They are borderline useless, especially when the team released depth charts are like, you don't know what they're just doing for morale that has nothing to do with what's going to be on
the
field.
Sometimes the veterans get you know.
Exactly. And then the preseason hit and you're like, Oh,
wait. This is fire.
Wait a minute. Yeah, this is definitely fire. Lindsey had 8 of 10 reps with the first team offense, and he seems like he's the first and second down back, which is not to say that instead of drafting David Johnson, you should draft Philip Lindsey. This is to say, in my opinion, that the fire be too hot. You go and get burned. Don't draft anybody, because David Johnson is still the pass catching back. That's not Philip Lindsey's cup of tea. That's not what he excels at. And he's not a real great.
You went with cup of tea.
Look, I'm trying new things on. You inspired me, Mike.
Oh,
cup
okay.
of tea. I might try
cup
it a couple
of
more
new
times.
Catchphrase.
That's what
cup
I'm looking
of tea.
At. I'm trying to go. You're going masculine. I'm going kind of British. Okay. I'm trying to look for a couple British catchphrases.
As in British is not masculine.
Right. Yes. Okay. So yeah, see exactly what I'm saying.
Well, no, I think cup of tea is generally not necessarily
right, that's
in
not,
the masculine category.
I like a good cup of tea.
I do too.
Sure, but you guys, you don't flex that one. You want to sit down and have a cup of tea? Anyway,
well, if you say it like that, now I'm in.
So this is not
a cup of tea is very high tea.
This is not.
Oh, the Dan Campbell cup of tea. That's different.
Not Philip Lindsay's.
It's only from a lab
specialty. And so I think what you're going to see here is you're going to see David Johnson with the valuable reception work in a crappy offense and not enough of it to be valuable for fantasy. And you're going to see Philip Lindsey do the between the 20s, run the ball. He's good at that. And for a bad team, and it's not going to be worth it. And then for giggles, they'll probably bring Mark Ingram in on the goal line just to be like, you can't have anything. So I am staying.
Get him out there for giggles.
Well, look, there was a longer phrase I was going to say, but it didn't.
For poop and giggles.
Yes, for poop and giggles, but it didn't quite.
Give me Philip Lindsey late in drafts.
Really?
If Mike's going to sit here and give me the Damian Harris preaching each and every week, guaranteed touches on a team that might not have the goal line work and the passing game work. Give me Philip Lindsey in the 12th round, please, because I want some guaranteed touches in case I have running backs get hurt, bye weeks.
How many games do you think the Patriots are going to win?
More than the Texans, but that doesn't
but
mean
double
I don't.
More? Or
yeah, double more.
Okay. So if you are the non-pass catching running back, you need to be on a winning team. A losing team, non-pass catching running back. I can't imagine touches matter for fantasy.
There were games in which you could have started LaMichael P. Ryan of the Jets last year, or some of these teams that were, you know, look at the Jacksonville. I mean, look at James Robinson on the worst team in football.
Yeah, but he got all of the work and caught the ball and had the goal line. Like he had everything to himself.
Look, we got tips and tricks this week. Here's a little bonus tips and tricks.
Number 11.
If you can get guaranteed touches at running back anywhere in the draft, I'm all about it.
So if this isn't fire, the Texans are really, really committed to this gag, because you had a quote from David Johnson. Quote, obviously, as it's going on in the moment, it's tough.
Oof.
But I think in the long run, it will just help out the team as a whole. End
oh,
quote.
No.
So that is a man who is completely resigned that he's this third down guy.
Phillip he's Lindsey, not getting that role.
Phillip Lindsey is the starter. Yeah, so, yeah, oof. I'm with you guys that this is fire. I don't think the offseason. I don't believe going through the offseason projecting that David Johnson was going to be the starter was incorrect. It is now. I get it, but
he was better last year. He bounced back.
He was fine. He was efficient. He was a solid player. And then you go get Philip Lindsey, and you're like, oh no, that's our starter. That's a bizarre move.
I think a lot of this could deal with age. I mean, this is a team that is not playing for the here and now. They're playing for the future.
Is he old, though?
No, he's 27.
He's certainly not he's as old as David Johnson.
He's younger than David Johnson.
David Johnson's going to hit 30 by the time next season rolls around. Okay. And so that's not they're not building a team around David Johnson. Plus, I think that the fan base and the town and everything realizes David Johnson is the physical representation of the loss of DeAndre Hopkins. It's that trade, while
great
for us, was equally ungrate for them.
As much as I'd love to talk Lindsey David Johnson the entire show, we'll move on here. But we all agree fire on that one. Number two, Robert Tonyan drew rave reviews from Packers tight end coach on Sunday. They said he's not reached his ceiling yet. He was the tight end 3 last year. But so I guess the question is, smoke or fire here, did he reach his fantasy ceiling last year, even if he may be more productive, more total catches? He had a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, I think this is smoke. I mean, this is a tight ends coach saying, hey, my tight end, he's got even more to give. Well, yeah, that's what they're all going to say. Like, has he reached his potential yet? No, probably as an NFL player, he hasn't. But does that
unless you're the Jacksonville tight end coach right now with Mr. Tebow?
Right. Tebow has reached his ceiling and has been released. But this is something where his touchdown rate, Robert Tonyan's touchdown rate, was so high last year. We've talked about, you know, the forthcoming regression on passing touchdown volume for the Packers. That will come down a little bit. And you thought, well, it's going to be fine if he can be more involved in the offense, get a higher, target rate. But then they brought in Randall Cobb. And while Randall Cobb is, you know, not going to set the world on fire, he is the trusted outlet second look for Aaron Rodgers. And I think that that just kind of caps that hopeful, like maybe Tonyan could have come up close to that number 2 in targets. I don't think that happens anymore with Randall Cobb. So for fantasy purposes, I don't think there's any fire here.
It's a good point with Cobb. I hadn't thought about his impact on Tonyan.
Yes.
Yeah, volume-wise. And Devin Funchess this preseason, finally coming back after 2 years of being signed by the Packers and not playing. I'm with you. Smoke.
Yeah. I have nothing to add to this conversation, and I'm going to throw an audible in here for us because
you got a third one.
I got a third one. This is hot off
Omaha.
Twitter. This is hot off Twitter, and this I'm bringing it up specifically because this thing is going to catch the rounds. This is a flammable piece of content here. This is from Twitter, JP Finley, who is a reporter out of Washington. Kyle Allen says Washington is trying to push Antonio Gibson into a similar role as Christian McCaffrey played in Carolina.
Okay.
Okay.
So.
Smoke or fire?
Smoke or fire?
This smoke was, I mean, the embers were there last year with this exact comparison.
The embers were there. They started right after the draft. You did not see Antonio Gibson on third down last year. You did not see Antonio Gibson on third down in the limited amount of work, but you have one of the quarterbacks on the team saying, this is what it looks like they're doing.
Look, it's getting hot. I'm getting hot. And I'm getting bothered.
So, but at this point, you're just going to say that's hot smoke?
Until
hot smoke?
Hot smoke. Look, until you see him in on third downs on a regular basis, you're not going to see the flames yet. So I have to say smoke, but I brought this up on another show. That's what I'm watching for pretty much more than anything in week 2 of preseason is Antonio Gibson's passing work and specifically his third down utilization versus JD McKissick, because I do feel confident that he's going to grow in his pass catching role. However, if JD McKissick is really truly utilized for his skill set on third down, then that caps that growth, and we should not utter the name CMC in comparison.
Yeah. There's a difference between thinking they should do that, which I believe, and whether they will do it. I think I saw a tweet, and I don't remember who to give credit for, but the tweet was something to the extent of, I'm afraid that Washington believes that JD McKissick is one of the best pass-catching running backs in football. Oh, my gosh. He got us. He got us. Smooches. McKissick.
Oh, goodness.
And I brought it up. I mean, 81 receptions last year? So I don't think CMC is the right name to utter, even if the role increases. It's got to go to the moon, right, for him to get that CMC role. But does it, you know, does the possibility of fire here split the difference when you're deciding between Gibson and Clyde or Gibson and Mixon or Gibson? Like, Mike, would you take Gibson or Joe Mixon?
I would take Gibson.
Okay. But that's what your rankings say.
It's a very tough decision. And I mean, we've already kind of talked about this as a possibility. I'm just bringing this up as, like, Jason, you're saying, I need to see the third down. It's too late. what, like, if you're going into drafts, you know, very soon, and you see that, you see the confirmation of it, it's done. Like, you're too late now. So I'm just, that's why you got to kind of make your decision if you're buying into the smoke, the hot smoke, or the fire.
Well, then if I've got to decide right now, I'm going to stick with hot smoke. It's in between.
All right.
It really is. It's one of those things where I fully expect his passing work utilization to go north, but not north to the tune of, 80, 90, 100 targets. I don't think that's happening for him.
I'll call it warm smoke on my side.
Okay.
Mike, what is it for you?
That's some hot smoke.
All right. All right. So no fire yet. All right. That was.
I don't want to get out of control.
I know.
I'm doing some deep breathing over here, fellas.
It's the reasonable, smart thing to do. You know, you have to take it. One thing that holds me back.
But it's happening. It's happening.
I brought it up, too. It holds me back that, you know, he did deal with some injury.
There's so much fire.
What kind of.
Can you whisper please.
It? We cannot be held
please
accountable.
Continue, Andy. Talking about a realistic outlook for Gibson. He's going to be so on fire. He's going to go nuclear. What were you saying?
Nothing. Okay. Nothing. Number one overall.
Explosive.
That was Where There's Smoke, There's Fire, presented by Traeger Grills. Put a Traeger wood pellet grill in your starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Make every game day more delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Head to Traeger.com/footballers to discover just how simple wood-fired cooking can be. I'm going to blitz this news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Aaron Jones returned to practice Monday. That's good news.
That's great news.
Melvin Gordon suffered a groin injury, believed to be minor. We'll see if he makes groinindex.com or not. Bills
and just thrown in. I mean, he better get on the field. Javonte looked very good.
Oh yeah, we didn't really talk about Javonte in preseason, but he did look good to me.
He looked good.
Sean McDermott,
I mean, against backups, but
yeah, those are always such interesting. I mean, it's right to caveat it.
Yeah,
but at the same time, he had no choice.
That's why it was a throwaway.
You would want him to look good against there was also the outlook where he comes in against backups and looks mediocre, and that didn't happen.
And he can't come out there and be like, come back in here, starters. Stephon Diggs, right now, head coach Sean McDermott not concerned that it will linger into the knee injury will linger into the regular season.
Okay.
So keep an eye on that. Dak did return to practice. So he threw on consecutive days.
That's great news.
Very good news. Alfred Morris was released by the Giants, and Jacksonville released Tim Tebow. The final wave goodbye for Tim Tebow. Never would have had a shot at this if it wasn't for Urban Meyer, his collegiate head coach, giving him the shot. But
unfortunately for Tebow, he showed the rest of the NFL what he can do as a tight end.
He might have been able to make it in this role 10 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. I think if he switched to tight end early in the career, look at Logan Thomas. Thomas was a quarterback, and it took him years to transition to tight end. It's why rookie tight ends don't hit. There is a skill to learn. It's not just are you physically big and fast and strong. It's like there's a skill to learn here for rookie tight ends, no matter how old you are as a rookie.
So does this kind of squash your own personal aspirations to potentially – play tight end?
No,
in
I just need a couple of years. Give me a shot, but give me a 3-year shot is what I would ask for.
Okay, a 3-year chance, and you'll be how old then?
I'd be 22 years old in 3 years for sure.
All right, that was today's news and notes. Brought to you as always by Sleeper, the largest dynasty platform out there. We just got our friends and family league set up again. I did not get the draft pick I wanted. That's okay. It's okay. I can customize the league, right? So that means I can put myself higher in the draft order, maybe?
Yeah, it's a great place to play your fantasy leagues. Start your fantasy leagues over on Sleeper for sure. Also, before we get into the tight ends, want to thank all of our sponsors
today.
Want to thank Head & Shoulders. Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology is never not working to give you up to 100% dandruff protection, even between washes. We just had... this last Thursday, our Never Not Working segment.
The debut.
Which was incredible. People loved that. Talking about second and third round rookie running backs, how they fare against their incumbents, how that affects what you should do with guys like Javonte. You want to go back and listen to that last Thursday.
Yeah, I made some great points in that segment.
You truly did. Almost as good as mine.
Dude, I listened to so many good points in that segment, and I really think I was proud of the work that I did with my ears. Listen to this Thursday's Head and Shoulders segment because it's going to be fantastic. Regular use of Head and Shoulders Scalp Shield technology, it provides a continuous invisible shield of protection against dandruff, itch, protection, dryness. Get up to 100% dandruff protection that's never not working with Head and Shoulders Scalp Shield technology, available at walmart.com.
Foot Clan, today's podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? There's no shame in that game. Ladies and gentlemen, you should always strive to improve yourself and improve your mental health, and BetterHelp will help assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. You can log into your account anytime, send a message to your counselor. You'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you don't have to sit in the uncomfortable waiting room with traditional therapy. We have heard from some of the Foot Clan out there, and they've said, look, I've reached out to BetterHelp. I got connected with a counselor, and I'm working on it, and things are improving. It can get better. You just have to choose to work on it, and BetterHelp is a great way to do that. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Fantasy Footballers listeners get 10% off their first month. BetterHelp.com/footballers.
Tight ends.
Very aggressive. All right, tight ends. The last ranking show, right, Brooksy?
Oh, yeah. Unless you want to do a tight ends part two.
No, thank you.
No. No, there is no part two to the tight end position.
Or top 10 kickers?
No, thank you.
Enough with your suggestions.
Okay.
Just pull the levers over there, okay? Top 10 tight end rankings are consensus top 10 by half PPR scoring. Last year was a good year for a handful of tight ends. I mean, super efficient in the red zone. 31% of tight end touchdowns occurred there. That is the most in the last decade. So teams were looking to the tight end in the red zone, those high-value targets. And you even had some low-volume guys with big years. Yeah, we talk about Robert Tonyan, the tight end three with the touchdowns. But look, Jimmy Grandpa had, what, eight touchdowns last year?
Yeah.
Jonnu Smith, Rob Gronkowski, even Jared Kuk last year were low-volume, high-efficiency tight ends. So today we'll talk about our top 10. We'll talk about the separation between the elite tier, and we'll talk about some guys we think could jump into that range. I mean, Tonyan was an example of somebody that made a big fantasy impact, late draft pick, waiver wire pickup type of player.
And this is what – that's everything. That's everything when you're drafting the tight end. We've been recommending all offseason – try to get one of the elites. Try to get one of the big three, Kelce, Waller, George Kittle. Don't forget about George Kittle, even though he didn't finish very high. And maybe Mark Andrews can sneak into that crew. But otherwise, if you don't get one of them, you don't settle. Don't settle for your guy in the middle rounds. You think, well, he's going to be fine. I need a starter at the tight end position. He'll be okay. He'll get me some points. No. Go after someone that you believe can actually make that jump into becoming a true top five tight end. Because otherwise, you're wasting your pick.
Yeah, there are, I think, six players that you can have an argument about drafting with capital. So obviously the big three, meaning three other players that we should have a discussion today about whether we would be willing, and I think each person on their own needs to decide, are they willing to take a shot in those middle rounds? And that would be Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, and TJ Hawkinson, whether or not those are worth it. And then outside of that, if you decide that they aren't worth the shot, just go late.
Yeah, and in my opinion, you go late with the upside. Like Mike said, you go late with somebody that – you know, well, we'll get into the names.
Yeah. Yes.
And then we'll go from there.
Our seventh pick, the guy after that, is being drafted in double-digit rounds as the last tight end. So, yeah, we're good.
Travis Kelce is number one on the rankings. Not a surprise. 105 for 1,411.
Goodness gracious.
The tight end one. And if you look at the game log, like we have the consistency charts in the Ultimate Draft Kit. You get to see week by week. It's mesmerizing to see what he did for your fantasy team.
Green is good.
I mean, he had a run where 4 of 6 weeks, including 3 in a row, he was the number one on the week. He had 5 number one overall finishes. You know, he just won you weeks at the position. And the advantage when you got one of those games was so massive over your opponent. That's why we've been – this has been the year of the first-round tight end pick for us. If you're late in the first round, just go Kelce. You're not going to be sad.
Kelce cannot bust outside of injury. Like, he can – everybody that you draft in the first round can have a season ender, and you lose your first round pick. You're going to have to roll with the punches and figure out how to scrap and claw your way to the playoffs, still win that championship losing your first round pick. You could do it. We've all done it before. But outside of that happening to Kelce, there is no way on the planet that he's not a great pick. He is the number one target for the number one quarterback in the number one offense with the best offensive mind at head coach and you know, the offensive coordinating system. The last 5 years, he was the tight end one, the tight end one, the tight end one, the tight end one, and the tight end one. So he good.
So the bigger discussion then is not, we're not breaking news that Kelce is good. Mm-hmm. The bigger discussion is, how do you view him in a dynasty league? Because everyone wants to know when you trade him in for a newer model, so to speak. Well, I mean, that's the truth.
I've seen a lot of those questions of, should I trade Travis Kelce for Kyle Pitts? Dynasty league? And that's a question of, well, can you win the championship this year? Because if you can, I would keep Travis Kelce. I would go win a championship.
Well, there's some good research here. Tony Gonzalez had a tight end one finish in his age 32 season. That is what Kelce is going to be going into here. Turns 32 in week 5 of this season. Tony Gonzalez ended up with 4 more top 5 seasons after age 32. Tony Gonzalez is not, you know, every tight end out there, Jimmy Grandpa being an example of one that didn't do that. But haven't seen a sign of Kelce slowing down, and the quarterback is there for the next 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about Tony Gonzalez, you're like, well, that's not fair. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So is Travis Kelce.
I think we've already gotten there with Kelce.
Exactly right. If he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, then...
So what about if you're not, you know, what if you're in the middle and you're kind of competing? You don't know if you have a shot in Dynasty. Are you viewing Kelce? What window are you looking at him through? Like, is it a 5-year or 3-year?
I would give him a 3-year window, which is what we say is always good enough.
Which means I keep him.
Yeah, that means I keep him. I would not trade him for Kyle Pitts straight up. If I am a completely rebuilding team that, look, my team, it just does not have a chance to win. I'm not going to even make the playoffs this year. I'm playing for the future. Then sure, I might be willing to make that move. But you keep him right now.
All right, number two is...
Oh,
well, he's feeling good, right?
Yeah.
Are we okay there?
Yeah, he's back.
So Darren Waller comes in at number two. We all have him at two. Last year he was the third. He was early third last year, or is that this year?
That's this year.
Okay.
No, last year he was.
Oh yeah, people doubted the volume last year.
Yeah.
So what's the discussion around Darren Waller? The doubt has been removed. Jason and I were talking in the studio yesterday. Derek Carr, I mean, he didn't come up on the first or second episode of the quarterback rankings for some reason.
I'm not sorry.
Well, you cannot be sorry, but that is the sentiment. In a nutshell, mm-hmm. He always is better than that, and he's actually playable in a lot of leagues on a lot of weeks.
You can't make me.
all right.
If you're in a super flex, he's one of my three favorite targets for your third quarterback. But the point is that he is good enough as an NFL quarterback to give you confidence in Darren Waller. Darren Waller is great. If you're in any kind of half PPR or full PPR league, that's where when you're looking at Darren Waller versus George Kittle, you know, I made the transition more recently, like you guys had Darren Waller as your number two pretty much the whole offseason. I had George Kittle as my number two, but questions with the targets and Ayuk and Debo and potentially a rookie coming in. There's no questions here with Darren Waller. He is the number one target for this team. We've seen it in multiple years. He's got the athleticism that's through the roof. So I don't think there's anything to dislike. In fact, I question whether or not, like, I would rather, I talked to you, Mike, about this when we were doing our last mock draft show, and you had, I think, the sixth pick. If you are in the middle of the first round, that's where it's like, okay, you might be at the seven spot, and that's where a lot of people are deciding, do I take Travis Kelce there? Mm-hmm. Personally, I would rather grab an Aaron Jones or a great running back there and then grab Darren Waller in the third round, just like you did in your mock. You've still got a positional advantage, but you're stocking up on the more important position. So I love Waller this
year. That's where I was going to ask. I mean, Darren Waller, incredible season, 24 red zone targets, over 27% of the team's targets, which is that's absurd for a tight end. But he's not Travis Kelce. Like, he has in some inconsistent weeks. He was on fire to end the season, but I mean, you have what, five games where he wasn't even a top 12 tight end on the week, you know? Then that's pretty disappointing for a tight end that you drafted in the third round to finish outside of the top 12 that many times.
I'm completely stuck on Derek Carr deep dive over here.
Oh, no.
I'm staring at this.
Don't do it.
This is his eighth season. He's never finished as low as we have him ranked this year, ever. He had his best season finish ever last year. His last seven games, he was on 4,800-yard pace. Last year, he finished as the quarterback 13. He never misses a game.
And now he's got Brian Edwards. So
you promised yourself you weren't going to do this anymore,
is
Andy.
Just 4,000-plus yards for three consecutive years.
Abort.
I love it, man. Get hot for dinner. No, well, I guess early exam.
I'm not hot for him.
I think
I'm
Friday.
Just,
I think we know one of the players now.
No, we do not.
Yep. My God. We Derek do not Carr know, for Andy Hall.
One of those players, although.
Send in the car.
Sorry. Darren Waller, tight ends.
Yeah, that was going to be the question of when discussing these two players, your strategy in a draft. Would you rather leave the draft with, Jason answered it, would you rather be Aaron Jones and Darren Waller, or would you rather be Travis Kelce and let's go, we'll just go running back to running back. We'll go, oh, but that's Travis or Kelce and Clyde. I stopped myself because they're both on the same team.
Well, Clyde is not usually making it to the middle of the third, so I think more fair,
well,
if
I'm
we're
saying,
going middle of the third, it would be someone like David Montgomery.
Okay.
So
Kelce and Montgomery or Aaron Jones and Darren Waller. Andy.
It's really close. It's really close.
What if I told you?
I guess Kelce. I think Kelce is a. Yeah, I'll go Kelce Montgomery.
What if I told you that if you draft Darren Waller, you can stack him with Derek Carr? League will stop you.
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it the day before kickoff. You can just go right to that waiver and say, "I'm rolling this."
I feel like I'm being tricked. Yeah, I mean that's tough. That's tough. I mean, the consistency of Kelce versus Waller, it was a vast disparity.
Both of these are good starts, and I think this is where we should at least remind people or illuminate the concept that if you are going after one of these guys, we're about to talk about George Kittle, but if you're going after Waller, Kelce, Kittle, and you're spending that high-end capital, right? We're talking about you're giving up Aaron Jones, or you're giving up a David Montgomery, or you're giving up, you know, a Calvin Ridley to take a tight end. Don't also draft an early quarterback. That would be our recommendation, because if you're taking two of your first five picks away from running back and wide receiver, yeah, you'll have Lamar Jackson and Travis Kelce, and they'll be great, but your running backs and wide receivers as the season goes on are going to be really, really hurting, and those are the positions that are far more difficult to figure out on the fly as the season goes on.
Kittle's at three. The difference for me, I mean, it's minor, but the injuries do factor in. I mean, he dealt with injuries two separate times last year. He also dealt with a knee injury the year before. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just the aggression with which he plays. It probably is. I mean, he has It reminded me of Thomas Rawls out of the backfield. He is just a very aggressive player with the ball in his hands. It's one of the things you love about him. It's what let him break the yardage record, but it's also something that has cost him starts in the last couple of seasons. So that's the difference between them for me. Just a little bit of concern about re-injury.
And I would say my little bit of concern is it was George Kittle, I still think, is the number one weapon for this team. But if you happen to have both wide receivers for San Francisco be healthy, we've seen Debo take over games, and now we have seen Brandon Ayuk take over games. Yeah, this is a little bit of a different scenario for George Kittle. And this is not saying I'm avoiding George Kittle, but just saying I have him at my number three because I have a little bit of health concerns for him and the fact that these other two guys can step in and remove George Kittle from being the star. But you have, so I'm throwing out.
We haven't seen all three of them on the field together.
Exactly.
At full health, very much.
Exactly. And then in the last year, I mean, I'm throwing out the week one. Well, I guess you shouldn't because he played 98% of the snaps. He was the tight end 17 in week one. And then once he finally came back from his injury, he had two top two finishes. But then the other three games, he was tight end 15 or worse.
Yeah, I mean, he was obviously so playing injured. But yeah. In that bad season, he was on a 17-game pace of 1,347 yards.
Great.
The two previous seasons, he was the tight end three and the tight end two. This is a guy who can easily go out there and hit 1,200 yards at tight end. And what's crazy is that his career high in touchdowns is five. This is not a tight end who is making his mark around the end zone. Like a lot of
touchdowns are not his cup of tea.
Right. Wouldn't it be the bee's knees if he ends up with eight or nine touchdowns? Because his body style, his athleticism.
It would be hot to trot.
Yeah. So my point is,
I don't think these are British phrases.
The bee's knees is a British phrase.
It is.
That's why I threw it out there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, good work. Good work.
Here's the thing, though.
Googled British phrases.
You're darn right I did. You think I knew that the bee's knees was a British phrase?
I'm getting in on this.
I didn't know
this
that.
Show? Yeah, I didn't either. But we're here to educate.
People out there getting knackered over all these
that's right.
References.
What a smashing use of the word knackered.
Jason, after that analysis, I'm chuffed to bits.
Brooks, can you put on some tea for us? We're going to need that when the show's over. My point is that there is built-in upside to Kittle that, I mean, if any of these seasons where he has 1,200, 1,300 yards, if he ends up with eight or nine touchdowns, he's Travis Kelce. So
yeah.
The upside is there if he falls a little bit in drafts because of the injury risk or because of
also,
Waller taking the number two spot.
The high potential that he'll have a rookie quarterback as throwing him the ball eventually in the season.
Yeah, yeah. Bloody good analysis, Jason.
Oh, thank you.
I did throw a poll up earlier this morning because I was curious about the highest odds of starting week one. Between Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones.
Yeah, preseason game one has shifted things for people.
Justin Fields is at 51%, and Trey Lance and Mac Jones are identical at 24% each. So Mark Andrews comes in at four. Mark Andrews is just, I mean, four is his and his alone. Mm-hmm. Like he just sits there in his own number four spot. This is a huge average draft position drop between the top three, too. You got a two-round gap between where Kittle and Waller are going, and then Andrews and Hawkinson sit in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Back-to-back top five fantasy tight end. Simple question, are you drafting Mark Andrews, period?
Yes.
Okay, you are. In the fifth round, you're drafting Mark Andrews.
I'm fine with it.
I am also fine with drafting Mark Andrews or TJ Hawkinson, both fifth-round guys. Most of the time when I'm doing my real drafts or even my mocks that I'm really trying to take a look at what I want my roster to build, there is a player or two in the fifth round that I just can't pass. Someone like, you know, if I'm at the 509 where TJ Hawkinson is going and Tyler Lockett is there, I think he's just too valuable to pass up for a guy that I do think is going to break out. Like, I'll be honest, on my board, has been TJ Hockenson for my guy on Friday, because I fully believe that the breakout is going to come. I think he could be a 140 target guy. He's going to be the clear number one target for this offense. He was one of my favorite things, drafted to be great, top 10 NFL draft pick. He's been good. Everything says TJ Hockenson is going to have a good season, but not necessarily a great season. You know, obviously what Travis Kelce can do is there's no limit, but there is a limit when you're talking about Jared Goff, when you're talking about the Detroit Lions offense. I am willing to draft either one of those guys. And obviously getting back to Mark Andrews, our tight end four, right now, Marquise Brown, not on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Rashad Bateman out for several weeks. You've got Sammy Watkins, just, you know,
a lizard injury.
Yeah. He hurt his tail. So it's like,
those don't really factor in for me.
Sure, but my...
Because two-thirds of them weren't there last year, and Hollywood's dealt with injuries before. That pie doesn't seem to expand for Andrews, and we've given him that shot.
Yeah, my point is just he is the guy right now that continues building rapport. And if you want to talk about a connection that's locked in, and who, you know, there's been all this conversation, who's the one? Is it going to be... The one is Mark Andrews in that offense. I think... Do you guys see someone else out-targeting Mark Andrews in this offense? I do not.
88 targets last year in 14 games. Probably not. I think if Bateman had been healthy, I would be thinking about it, but just because what he represents possession wise, but no, you're right. I mean, Andrews is the top target on the teeny pie team, and there's nothing wrong with putting him in your lineup, but in the fifth round, you pick between Andrews, Hockenson, and Kyle Pitts. You know, these three guys are all going in that round. And
do you give any...
Andrews is not the one I pick.
Okay, then I'll go to Jason. I guess you've already answered it because you want Tyler Lockett in the fifth, which I do as well. Would you consider? I know this goes against the don't go quarterback and tight end early, but would you consider for an upside team? You're on the turn on the 4 or 5 turn, going Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews.
On
a weekly basis, your upside is your team can explode.
Yes, your upside is massive. You can explode, and I love a good stack. I would much rather build that stack via, you know, if you're in a keeper league where you got to keep Andrews, you got to keep Lamar late, spending both a fourth and a fifth on, you know, I'm going to be talking about stacking on tomorrow's episode.
Okay.
And the way that I approach stacking for a redraft league, draft capital is going to factor in pretty heavily. So I would not spend a fourth and a fifth together to stack.
Yeah. Andrews feels a little bit like a pricier Tonyan bet. Like, I'd rather take the Tonyan chance. I mean, we've seen 3 years of Mark Andrews, 34, 64, 58 reception wise. And I just remember spending all of offseason last year going, boy, what if that volume went up? And it doesn't seem like it. Hockenson's at 5, Kyle Pitts at 6. I kind of want to talk about these guys together.
Okay.
Hockenson is, I mean, he has upside, but I'm not willing to spend the fifth round pick on him.
I will say this. I get that the new hotness, the questionable upside of the greatest player of all time in Kyle Pitts. We've had discussions through the offseason, and you're saying, well, I want to swing for the fences, get someone who could be the number one guy. Kyle Pitts cannot be that. It's just
true.
Flat out impossible. And I'm not saying that Hockenson can, but my point is Hockenson, like, if I had to, I would love to take any and all water bets of Hockenson versus Pitts. So if you guys want in on that, I will take them. Please.
Oh.
Well, I mean, yes, sure.
Okay, great.
I mean, that's what my rankings say.
Water bet.
But they also say that right now. I mean, you might have a update later.
I bet based on complete factual evidence of
all
today.
Right.
So we obviously we looked,
and I always bet against Jason.
Andy and I we did a deep dive yesterday in the office on Kyle Pitts, looking at what it would take to reproduce and get to a good enough value to be drafted in this range. And we all know it would take the best rookie tight end season of all time. But we wanted to know how much higher, how much better would it really take? It would be astronomically higher. I mean, so much higher than any other rookie tight end in history. You're talking like,
can you take?
You're talking about 25% of the best rookie season ever. If you add that on to the best rookie season ever, then you get to where he's an acceptable pick in this range. Whereas you're talking about TJ Hockenson, who is the he was the tight end 4 last year while being injured and dealing with obviously the same poor team.
He was one of 5 tight ends to have 100 plus targets.
And now you got rid of Marvin Jones. You got rid of Kenny Golladay. He is the number one target going into his third year. TJ Hockenson is going to break out this year. Whether or not his breakout is worth the draft capital, I will say this. If you are someone who hates streaming tight ends, hates trying to figure out the matchups, the plays, the this and that, then it is worth it for you to save your fab dollars, to save your transaction counts through the year if you're on a waiver priority system. Then I think that is worth it, because I can't see him having fewer than 125 targets, and that's just enough volume if you're in a half PPR or full PPR league.
Yeah, I think you're going to see more of the same from Hockenson as last year. Matthew Stafford, we've talked a lot about him on the recent shows. He's a better quarterback than Jared Goff. And, you know, last year, I know he was banged up, and Hockenson's this, you know, valuable player in terms of checkdowns and things like that. But the reason I like Kyle Pitts more is I see 1,000-plus yards for Kyle Pitts in his rookie season. You have the absence, the target vacuum of Julio Jones. You have a player that's essentially a wide receiver. You have to think of Kyle Pitts as a wide receiver. We went back yesterday, like you said. I agree with everything that we were talking about yesterday in terms of what the ceiling looks like. Calvin Ridley's rookie season was 175 fantasy points. I think I have Kyle Pitts at 179, but you've got to be in the 220-plus range to be the Kittle, Kelsey difference maker for the team. That being said, 1,000-plus yards for Kyle Pitts with some touchdown upside, I think you're going to get that. And I think your odds of touchdowns with Matt Ryan in that offense and what role he has to play, they're in camp. Kyle Pitts has looked the part. They're moving him around the formation. You cannot do those athletic things with TJ Hockenson. You can't. And you got 700 yards last year in 16 games from TJ Hockenson. That got you tight end 4. I want more upside in the 5th round than TJ Hockenson.
And sure, but TJ Hockenson is an extreme athlete. Like, he was.
Yes.
He is not Kyle Pitts. I agree. Kyle Pitts is.
Because he's. Kyle Pitts is the only one.
Yeah, he breaks the mold. But I mean, if you're comparing Hockenson against the other top tier athletes, I'm just saying athletically speaking, he's up there with, you know, your George Kittles.
As a tight end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, 6'5", almost 250 pounds, and like a 4.74.
You've got to watch him for 2 years, Mike. Do you look at TJ Hockenson, 2 years of TJ Hockenson, and say he delivered on the what you expected? Or was it less than you expected?
It was...
Just eyeballs.
I think he delivered what I expected. And between the two, if I'm taking that tight end in the 5th round or the 6th round, somehow they both happen to be there, I would go Hockenson. I side more with Jason Boleyn that Hockenson is going to be the number one target for the Detroit Lions. And I think that the upside is there. I mean, maybe you're not getting the splash plays like from Kyle Pitts, but you won't see a splash play every single week. Meanwhile, you should see 7-plus targets for Hockenson every single week.
Yeah, his yards per catch is lower than all those athletic explosion tight ends. You know,
talking about Hockenson.
Yes.
So just one last point of clarity, though. If that's the normal, like, historical projection for all tight ends of all time, is you get you add to those things. So he's going into his third year, which is the normal breakout year for tight ends, and that's where it's like, yeah, he has not been great yet, but he was a rookie and he was a sophomore at a position where you don't usually do it that early.
You do see splash plays earlier. You see them with Mark Andrews earlier, George Kittle earlier, Noah Fant earlier. He has gone down in yards per catch over the first two seasons. Had a lot of drops, a lot of penalties.
A lot of drops, that's fair.
A lot of issues with
8% drop rate.
My point is not that he can't. I mean, it's a tough position to break out in Detroit with a worse quarterback, a different offensive system. Anthony Lynn is as your offensive coordinator. We just don't see Hockenson's upside the same. That's all. And I don't look at him as the athletic upside that a wide receiver Kyle Pitts has. They're not going to play Kyle Pitts in a traditional tight end off the block situation. They're going to run him all over the field, and I like that potential better.
Yeah, I don't think we view his upside that differently. I think we view his downs, because I don't see him as getting into that Kelce, Kittle, Waller tier.
I just
think he's
going to
be a really, really safe wide receiver four. You know, last year he was about 100 targets. I think that'll go up to 130, 140.
Well, we just bet on it.
There you go.
So we'll settle it that way. Higbee at 7. Higbee is the tight end I am most likely to end up with on my team.
Same.
He is drafted in the 10th round. He is a player that I think, ironically, you know, Matthew Stafford coming over from Detroit offers tremendous upside to. He has been a focal point of the offense for certain games in the past when Gerald Everett wasn't there. And we didn't just see average tight end play. We saw explosive tight end play. So this is the post-hype sleeper of the year at the tight end position. I hope the draft – I don't think the draft price will go up.
No, because he's Tyler Higbee. He disappointed people last year.
Yep.
He's been in the league long enough. We know his upside isn't going to be something astronomically high. His draft capital will be in the 10th round, and I absolutely love it because you lost Gerald Everett. You lost Josh Reynolds. You brought in a better quarterback. Again, you lost Cam Akers, where I think you're going to have to throw the ball more. Higbee could get it done, and I would much rather, like, again, if Lockett and Hockenson – were there in the 5th, I would rather grab Tyler Higbee late and stud out at wide receiver.
You've seen the volume. When Gerald Everett is out, Higbee averages 5 targets a game, which, you know, I'd prefer more, but that's solid. And you have at least the proof of concept when you go back to the 2 years ago where the Higbee hype really started rolling because he was Tyler Higbeast, where in 5 straight weeks, the tight end won – 5-3-9-1. He turned into this waiver pickup that saved people over the final stretch of the season. So I'm not overly bullish on Tyler Higbee as much as you guys are, but I think that he's someone in the double digit rounds that I believe can take that jump. So I'm perfectly fine drafting Higbee.
What about Robert Tonyan at 8? Right now, he's 8th on our list. He's a round ahead of Higbee. It hasn't gone, for a guy that finished at tight end 3, the ADP hasn't gone insane. A lot of that's been suppressed by Aaron Rodgers' question marks through the offseason. Do you think he'll end up on any of your rosters?
Yeah, I do. I've seen him end up on my rosters before. Even though I've got him at 12, he's a value because the Aaron Rodgers thing, if Aaron Rodgers came back this offseason and just was back. He'd probably be easily being drafted as the tight end, 6 or 7.
He'd be
in that
5th
range.
Round.
So, I think he's a value, and I'm willing to draft him in the 9th.
His career arc is interesting because he was a smaller school guy. So a tight end from smaller schools, it's tougher for them to get a fair shot, even though he absolutely dominated. Like, he was a production machine in his college days. Goes undrafted, has to work his way up. And so I think that following the career arc, Tonyan can still be a higher level fantasy tight end to me.
Yeah, I agree. And now we've finished all the good tight ends.
Mike Gesicki at 9.
See?
Dallas Goedert at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Not interested in either one.
Me either.
Everything here is choice over draft price, and the price is too high for both those players.
Yeah, you actually have to pay a little bit more for those players. I mean, Dallas Goedert's going in the 7th round. That's because his ADP got established when nobody thought Zach Ertz was going to be there. When Zach Ertz is going to be there, look, Dallas Goedert's a way better blocker than Ertz. Ertz, in the first preseason game, he was running more routes than Goddard. It really stinks. I wanted Goddard as a breakout. Love him. But with Ertz there, no. Mike Gesicki, a lot was made about how, oh, man, they were using the tight end for the first preseason game in Miami. They didn't have Waddle. They didn't have Fuller. They didn't have any of their wide receivers. Of course they're using their tight end. Like,
well, they Waddle was out there, but they used the tight end, but not a singular tight end. They were using the tight end position, like multiple guys, and Gesicki is not even out there for every single snap.
Yeah, you're going to have explosive plays, but then you're going to have disappearing act.
Yes.
There are a few breakout calls you can try to make later in your draft. Guys like Big Irv, Irv
Much
Jr.
more interested in talking about these guys.
Yeah, Irv Jr., Noah Fant.
Irv from the Minnesota Vikings.
Big Irv Smith.
Yes. Yeah.
Noah Fant is going in the seventh round. So we didn't, you know, we don't have him ranked where the consensus community has him ranked, which, look, I see the path. I mean, if Drew Locke takes a step forward, which it's possible, or if Teddy Bridgewater brings some consistency, he had games last year. At least he's young. At least he fits the mold. You know, Jason, you talked all about third year, TJ mm-hmm. Hawkinson, the breakout. Like, Fant is a player that provides you big play upside on a regular basis.
He checks a lot of the boxes. The strikes against him are basically quarterback play and Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. Just mm-hmm. the fact that he's not going to lead this team in targets. He's not going to be second in this team in targets. So that's the downside here for Fant. But the talent is certainly there.
Troutman is going in the 12th round, Mike. You've put him on the map.
Yeah,
Adam Troutman, New Orleans Saints tight end. You have him at 10 overall.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about Adam Troutman, but if you're just coming back to the show, tight end for the New Orleans Saints was a third-round pick a couple years ago. The team traded a lot to go and get him, and then they released Jared Cook and Josh Hill over the offseason and went all in on Adam Troutman. The first preseason game was concerning. He did not see a target. However, he was out there almost the entire game, so I'm not going.
That might be more concerning.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was troubling to not see him get a target. But I'll wait until the preseason week two to, you know, start making some adjustments. Because you would like to have your tight end out there be a full-time player, be like a Greg Olsen type of guy who's excellent at blocking, but then is also a dynamic pass catcher, which Adam Troutman is.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting to watch. Forgotten down at the back of the draft is Evan Engram.
He's a value.
Yes, he is.
Led the team in targets last year. He's
like
a talented guy. Yeah, I know.
When you're talking about Engram.
I've always hated Evan Engram. And so for me to say he's a value means he's actually a value, because I don't want to talk him up. I think in dynasty leagues as well, he's a great target because he's still very young. He's probably going to switch teams. I don't see the Giants paying up for him. And he's got the talent. If another team goes and pays a lot, I think he's got a bright future. And he's, you know, the tight end 18 right now, which means he's undrafted.
Which tight end is going to end up on more of your rosters?
It'll definitely be Tyler Higbee is the one that ends up on the majority of my teams.
It's the same for me.
Yeah, I would say, man, at this point, it's Irv or Troutman.
I want to get some Hawkinson. So what I need to have happen is I need to be in really good leagues where people are taking all my fifth-round targets, and then I will happily take him. Because he's on my list of fifth-round targets, but usually...
For late, and I take that back. Who's going to be on most of my teams is one of the top three tight ends.
Do you have a super deep tight end sleeper pick that could break out? That, I mean, I know Troutman's kind of that for you, Mike, but you have him ranked pretty high. Is there somebody else on the radar for either of you guys? I have one name.
I know your name.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean, I can guess.
Who is it?
Is this Gigantor?
No. Oh. No, that's a good one. Mo'Ally
Gigantor.
Cox.
Yeah, that's the Indianapolis Colts tight end. He is the largest man in all of existence that's ever walked the face of this earth. And we've seen, you know, Carson Wentz, who will be back sooner than later, we've seen him over-target his tight end. There's T.Y. Hilton is no longer a number one wide receiver. I like Michael Pittman a lot, but you got to leave room for there's no one who is fully established as Carson Wentz's go-to target, and it could end up being one of the tight ends.
I thought you were going to say Dan Arnold in Carolina, who was brought in to be a pass catcher. But I'm curious what's going to happen in Los Angeles with the 93 targets of Hunter Henry removed.
Oh, is this a Donald Parham?
Yeah, I mean, like, Jared Cook could be done. Like, he's been trending towards DUN for a while. And if that was the case, you have Donald Parham Jr. there, more athletic, a red zone weapon, deeper leagues, dynasty leagues. Maybe throw him on your bench if you haven't already. considered that. Any interest in Logan Thomas, guys?
So Logan Thomas is interesting to me. We've been off of him because they brought in Curtis Samuel.
Kelvin Harmon is back.
Yeah, and Ryan Fitzpatrick usually targets those, you know, first and second wide receiving targets. But I think we've gone too far. Logan Thomas is a quality tight end. He's looked good. He looked good in preseason. So he's someone that is interesting. If he falls in a draft, I would be willing to take the shot at being wrong on him.
He might fall. My problem with Logan Thomas is he had 110 targets last year. That's the third most targets at the position. Was only able to finish as the tight end six. I mean, he was averaging 8.8. He averaged 8.8 fantasy points per game. That's fewer on average than Mike Gesicki. That's right under, like, Jonnu Smith was averaged 8 points a game last year. I mean, I know he finished higher, but for him to be a difference maker again this year, I don't see it happening.
And really, to close out the tight end discussion, I think that's the headline that fantasy players need to take away from it, is when we discuss tight ends, we're framing it in the context of, like, can they be a difference maker for your team? So if you don't take a difference maker at the top of your draft, what is the best combination of draft price and potential, right? Not necessarily, because you can get average production from the waiver wire at tight end. You can go find an average start any given week that's just gambling on a touchdown or gambling on three or four catches. What you're trying to do is, can you get, you know, is Tyler Higbee in the seventh round going to be the upside pick of the year? Is it going to be somebody even later than that offers you, is Noah Fant going to have the breakout year? I want to go hunting for that if I'm not investing early picks on difference makers.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, if you invest an early pick on Dallas Goedert, you are hurting your team, because your early pick is going to say, that's my guy, and I'm starting him every week. But you'd be much better to grab Gerald Everett off of the waiver wire, play him against Arizona, a good matchup for tight end, and he gets a touchdown versus just rolling out a decent target. Like,
last year's tight end nine, drafted as a tight end nine, was Hayden Hurst. If you drafted him there and you just played him every week, you were not happy.
Oh, but you got the tight end nine that you were drafting at tight end nine. There's only a couple tight ends that matter. If you don't get one, stream the position.
All right. As we close it out, and tomorrow, Brooks, what do we have on the table tomorrow? Tips and Tricks show?
Yes, sir.
Oh, top 10 tips and tricks. Going to be a fun one. Jason's been doing a lot of research into how to title his tips.
That's all I care about. What is a kind catchy of title.
Yeah. Cup of tea? Is that in contention tomorrow?
I'm only doing British titles, so right. We will see.
So we've got tips and tricks. We've got a mock draft show. We've got our My Guys episode this week. So I encourage you, make sure you follow us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. We always love your reviews over on Apple Podcasts, and subscribe over on YouTube. We want to thank our sponsors that keep this show going each and every day as a daily fantasy football podcast. We want to thank Traeger Grills. Look, maybe your team, it's taking form right now. Maybe you forgot to tune into the show in the off season. You're catching up right now. Look, your taste buds, regardless of how your team ends up, your taste buds will be winning every week when you fire up a Traeger wood-fired grill on game day. Mm. You kind of drop the voice with the upgrade in
the
taste.
The closer you get to delicious meats, the lower your voice gets.
Thank you. unlike reaching for a quarterback in the second round, there's no risk when you are cooking on a Traeger. Set it, forget it, and then eat it later on. Consistent temperatures, perfect results every time. They got the Wi-Fi technology. That's a little catchy little title.
I like to cook from my couch.
Yes, especially in Arizona where you got to put the meat on and then you got to go hide. Get out from outside or get in from outside. Take things a step further, letting you, the Wi-Fi lets you monitor from inside. You got the ability to grill, to smoke, to bake, to roast, to braise, to barbecue. And you got burgers, you got wings, briskets, brownies all on the grill. Fueled by all-natural hardwood pellets. You can try different pellet types, and they give you that wood-fired flavor in every bite. If you haven't done it, you're missing out. Go ahead and lock in a Traeger grill right into your lineup by heading to Traeger.com/footballers.
And thank you to Pristine Auction, the best sports memorabilia site of all time. Right now, there's Travis Kelce. Look, beard or no beard, a Travis Kelce signed Kansas City Chiefs full-size helmet, currently sitting at $47. and a Davante Adams signed jersey, currently sitting at $52. PristineAuction.com. When you register, use the code BALLERS. You'll get a $10 credit.
All right, that'll do it. Make sure you get the Ultimate Draft Kit if you want to be entered for that exclusive UDK for life giveaway. UltimateDraftKit.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Can't wait.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.